الله أكبر الله
Haji.
Yes, we're singing so sound the geschichte over the Schwein coming home and leaving that
camera. After the turn of the century, in the clear blue skies over Germany, came a roar and a thunder men had never heard, like the screaming sound of a big war bird.
The following is a public service announcement brought to you by the John Denver Committee to Prevent Air Show Violence and Deaths Now. The JDCPASVADN says that until we close the air show loophole and place common sense regulations on assault planes with high-capacity fuel tanks, the death toll at air shows will continue to rise. Fuel tanks in assault planes should be limited to 10 gallons or less, except for law enforcement and military aircraft. Call your congressman today and ask him to support SB 1369, written in honor of the many victims of needless air show violence.
Amen, try.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT right now. All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 7th of November, day after Election Day. What a day it was. Still not all the results are in. There's still a very closely contested race that I don't understand here in Arizona, and it's a very important one. I don't like the statist that is running for the Senate there, but I don't like the other one a whole lot worse, and they're really, really close. So we'll keep you updated on that as we learn more about it. Let me run over here real quick to the chat room and see if there's anything going on here before we get too deep into this. Let's see here. There we go. All right. Thank you, NM Glock. Yeah, that was good. You guys see, what's his name, Jim Acosta? Well, he accosted an intern there, not really, but he grabbed her arm when he shouldn't have. Typical liberal, wouldn't shut up, and we've had this discussion on this radio show I don't know how many times, starting way back in the beginning, and I've seen many, many, many times when someone will get into a debate with a liberal and they have no substance for their argument. They don't have the intelligence or the content to continue the argument, so they just keep hollering. They just try to talk you down and just keep hollering, talking over you, and keep talking while you're keep talking, and you try to talk, and they keep talking no matter what you say, and they keep talking. They never stop, and it drives me nuts. I have hollered at their radio and threatened to shoot it and everything else a few times. It's crazy, and that's what Acosta was doing, exactly what he was doing. And consequently, he got his... He got spanked and got his press credentials taken away after being there for 5 years. And
CNN is sticking by him. That's even worse. They're saying, well, we're proud of him. He did a wonderful thing. So the whole damn bunch of them there are guilty as far as I'm concerned. All right. A lot of stuff going on here.
Everybody heard Jeff Sessions quit today. That was a very good thing. I don't know anything about who is temporarily replacing him, whether that person will be sworn into that office or permanently or just until they find somebody else. I don't know. We're hoping they put Chris Ann Hall in there, but that's probably not going to happen. The Arizona's, I'm very... I suppose we're about the same as a lot of other states. I'm very disappointed that just a hair less than 50% of the registered voters in Arizona showed up to vote. There's no way of determining, you know, how many of each party didn't show up, but the people that showed up are going to decide what happens here for the next 2 or 4 years. So Washington got hammered. Their extremely unconstitutional, ridiculous gun bill passed up there. And California has officially joined the ranks of the socialist states now. They're right up there with Oregon and California. And several of them back east. And there's a number of people, my friends, that I've on Facebook today, several of them threatening to move out, looking for greener pastures. The only thing that would keep some of them there is if the 51st state, the state of liberty, gains ground and looks like it may become a happening thing. Those people may stay or they may leave and come back. If the state of liberty becomes a reality, a lot of people will be moving up that way. But I'm not holding my breath for that yet. We'll see how it goes. But it only stands to reason. I mean, Washington is just like California. They're two totally separate states divided basically in the middle. If you cut California in half at Sacramento
and cut Washington in half, you know, vertically on a north-south line somewhere near the center. The right side and the left side. The left side is left and the right side is right. And in California, the top side is right and the bottom side is left. But that would make perfectly good sense for both of those states to be divided. So there should be 52 states here soon, what I'd like to see. The notion that they're going to divide California into three states is just retarded. That's not going to go anywhere. But if they just slice it in half, right just below Sacramento, so that Sacramento's in the upper half, I mean just below like a mile. If they just barely get it in the northern half, that would be an awesome thing. Because the Northern California is a marvelous place to go visit.
Neat place. New Mexico got hammered. A lot of places did. You know, everybody knows by now that we lost the House and kept the Senate.
I want everybody to understand here that if something were to happen to Trump and Sessions, Nancy Pelosi will be your president. Think about that. A lot of people are saying that this is not quite as bad as it sounds, but it's going to be pretty bad. It may, as they're saying, and I kind of understand what they're saying, it may help get Trump reelected in 2020 as a result of what happens over the next 2 years. But it's what happens over the next 2 years that I'm worried about, whether Trump gets reelected or not. There's going to be a lot of anti-gun legislation across the nation that probably will wind up passing. Now, whether or not Trump will jump in there and use his veto pen and keep some of it from passing, I don't know. But there's a whole lot of stuff that's not, Trump and Pence. I guess he's, and I'm glad, I guess I said Trump and Sessions. Yeah, Trump and Pence. Anyway, you know what I meant. So, I'm not looking forward to this next 2 years, really. But, you know, I sat here and, you know, Tebow will remember. I don't know who else is with us here. Yakima Glock might, but probably not. Tebow may be the only one with us tonight that would remember this. Let me look. Let's see here. I don't see anybody else who's with me back in my AM radio days. But I said way back then, I have said since then, since, you know, we've had the Survival Circle, I have said that there, you know, that every generation that goes by, we lose more people that are willing to fight. And, you know, we get more millennials and the older vets are dying off in record numbers here. And, yeah, I have talked about that. But a long time ago, in a land far, far away, about 250 miles, or whatever it is, I said that there's going to come a time when we would be outnumbered and we would be past the point of no return, that it will not be be highly unlikely, maybe not even possible, to resolve this peacefully and restore the republic to what it should be. And as we've mentioned numerous times here, we've talked about Denver and Aurora. What happens in Denver and Aurora happens to the rest of the state. That's where the high capacity magazine ban come from. The rest of the state didn't vote for that. That all came from one little corner where the a population center is. You know, in New Mexico, it's Santa Fe, Albuquerque, and Las Cruces. In California, it's several of them, California, Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego. But none of it in Northern California. In, let's see,
Now, Arizona hasn't quite gone there yet, but we are. Well, let me finish my story, and we'll come back to Arizona. Just look at all the different states and look at Washington. It's Olympia, Seattle, and Tacoma. Decide what happens in Washington. In Oregon, it's Portland. And that's been that way for quite a while. And we've all, you know, we dislike that. But it has now come to a point, this election right now, not the last election, right now, yesterday, it has been seen, and I've studied maps and stuff and looked at what has happened here. And now the population centers of the East and West Coast completely rule what goes on in the United States. We've lost enough people in places that were, for years, have been predominantly red, are now pink or light blue. They're just changing over, and that is where Arizona comes in again. Arizona has been predominantly red, but this election right now, all of Maricopa County, is, when it was red before, it is starting to fade off into the sunset. We are on the verge of losing Arizona. We lost a lot of real estate, a lot of votes, a lot of places here in around the country. And I think that the part of that is because a lot of people didn't go vote. I don't know if they were all Republicans or all Democrats or a combination of the two. There's no way of knowing. But, I guess there's probably some way of knowing, but we're probably not going to see those numbers for a while. But we've reached that point right now that I predicted probably 12, 13 years ago, that point of no return where we cannot resolve this. And the next election, I fear, from what we see on this one, I fear that the next one may be even worse. I'd like to think that what happened yesterday and what happens over the next 2 years will really, really fire a lot of people up and encourage them to get out. See, voters turned out, and I told Amy for the last, you know, 3 or 4 days, I said, voters are going to turn out in record numbers like never before. And we heard that on the radio today. That is, in fact, what happened. And I think that probably enough Republicans thought that since Trump was in there and everything's fine, hunky-dory, that they just wouldn't bother and they'd just sit and drink beer and watch the football game. And I think that that is probably what happened, what lost us. So this next 2 years, I'm hoping that people will see what's going on and come to life, you know, and start doing something here. NM Glock says by next June, New Mexico is likely to become one of the worst gun control states in the union. You know, there's been times, numerous times, that I have thought, you know, I am really, really disappointed that I left New Mexico. A lot of things have happened that probably wouldn't have happened. I should have just stayed there and kept doing what I was doing. But then I see what's happening there now, and I'll never go back. I mean, there's no way. If I lived there now, I would still be moving out. After what happened yesterday, I'd be packing right now. And I'd be out of there. There's not enough people in that state that have the... If you look at New Mexico right now, it is smoothly cut, well, not exactly in half, but almost in half, red and blue. And I'm very, very disappointed in what's going on in New Mexico. So let's see here. Gillum lost in Florida, so that was a wonderful thing. That was about it was close. unfortunately. You know, God almighty, damn. In Georgia, that stupid, what's her name, Stacey Abrams, anti-gun socialist from the word go. She is as bad as they come. And they haven't called that race yet. She never conceded, and it was close enough that they're doing a recount down there. Unless something's happened in the last 3 or 4 hours, they're redoing that. And that's a damn shame. I can't believe the people of Georgia have done that. There's another state right there. Proves my point. Proves it solidly. You know, all those Black Panthers standing out there with semi-automatic rifles and everything, they're standing out there, yeah, waving these Abrams signs simply because she's black for no other reason. They have no clue what she stands for, who she is, but she's black and we voting for her, buddy. And they're standing out there with those rifles. They don't understand that when she gets in office, those rifles are gone. She'll do everything that she can do to make sure that that happens. I don't guess these people know. Maybe they don't look at Facebook. Maybe they don't look at the news. Maybe they have no concept of history. But maybe they don't know that the Democratic Party are the ones that started the KKK to start with. They don't know what LBJ said when he was in office. Or they wouldn't be standing out there supporting Stacey Abrams. It's insane. It's just absolutely, it just floors me what's happening down there right now.
What's happening everywhere. I mean, it's crazy. That's what I just said there. So, anyway, we've got some other, here we are, it's break time already, so let's take a little break and then we'll come back and we'll discuss this a little more. Stan?
I'll be back.
Welcome to Doc's Freedom Files.
Freedom, keep walking, keep on your toes and don't stop talking about freedom.
Irony and its close cousin absurdity meet nowhere closer than at the confluence of left-wing politics and gun control legislation. As usual, and especially in the case of guns, the leftists tug at the fragile heartstrings of emotion when the sturdy rope of reason escapes them. This has been seen nowhere more clearly than in the aftermath of Adam Lanza's Sandy Hook school shootings. Samuel Johnson once famously said, "Patriotism is the last refuge of scoundrels." He was wrong. I've come to realize that children are the last refuge of scoundrels. Any time the political left wants to grandstand on an issue, they justify it with the now hoary cliche, "It's for the children." Their gun-free school zones ensured that the Sandy Hook kids didn't stand a chance. Apparently, the anti-gunners' concern for children is further bolstered by continuous misuse of the firearms vocabulary. Their insistence on referring to magazines as clips, the constant reference to semi-automatic firearms as automatics, thereby implying that they are machine guns, and calling cartridges bullets are just a small sampling of their shallow understanding and intentional misdirection. Too often, they are people who don't know what they're talking about, yet wield massive amounts of authority. Their abject technical ignorance would be more palatable were it not being used to strip Americans of their rights. People would laugh at a cardiologist who called the heart that blood pump thing in your elbow that goes thump thump. Yet the anti-gun types are still taken seriously after they say equally ridiculous things. Amongst other things, the 1994 assault weapons ban contained a prohibition on barrel shrouds. While attempting to get the ban reinstated after its 10-year sunset provision, perennial anti-gun New York legislator Carolyn McCarthy was asked what a barrel shroud was. She infamously replied, "I believe it's a shoulder thing that goes up." Barrel shrouds are nothing more than small heat shields designed to protect a shooter's hand from a hot barrel. They are a safety feature. Some, though not all, have a military appearance, but none of them affect the function of a firearm in the least. Leave it to the left to ban safety features. The ban featured other bizarre prohibitions, such as bayonet lugs on rifle barrels. These fixtures allow a bayonet to be mounted on a long gun. In modern militaries, bayonets are rarely seen off the parade ground. Still, the nervous Nellies who authored the ban insisted on including them. Why? Did the authors suspect that our criminal element was massing, like World War II Imperial Japanese troops, ready to stage bayonet bonsai attacks? Apply your own litmus test to everything you hear from the mainstream media and anti-gun politicians, and understand that it is impossible for their constant stream of disinformation to be accidental. There are, logically, only three possibilities. They are intentionally pushing an agenda, they are too stupid to hold their offices, or they are too dishonest to be trusted. In any case, their blather is not worthy of your ears. Reports are that December 2012 background checks and firearm sales have broken all previous records. The sad irony is that the public aren't buying these weapons because they fear the likes of Adam Lanza or even common street criminals. They are buying them in fear of their own government. This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
I saw the light, I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again, I'm a brand new man. Well, the whole town's talking about the line I'm walking that leads right to your door. Oh, how I used to roam. Wild side, they say a country mile.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. I just checked. I saw NM Glock posted something about the mob of protesters currently outside there. I don't know if they're currently outside there. They may still be there. The story's 7 or 8 hours old, but then they may still be hanging out there. I don't know. But a bunch of Antifa went and knocked on Tucker Carlson's door and all manner of threats and foul stuff that they sent on Twitter and personally standing right there at his door. Everything and posted his address on Twitter, which was immediately removed after I think it was the Daily Caller or somebody complained about it and let him know about it. They took it away right then. But this is what happens when they win. I can't imagine what would have happened if they lost. And they did lose overwhelmingly, but there's still way too many. We didn't have nearly the red wave that everybody had anticipated. There was no blue wave either by any means, but the blue wave was more of a trickle than they thought it was going to be. And the red one was more of a trickle than they thought it was going to be. And the blue one opened up a little bit more than they thought it was going to. So basically it was, I don't know, it was probably just about half and half. But anyway, not looking good. I'm not looking forward politically to the next 2 years here. I'm not looking forward definitely to what's going to happen in New Mexico. I'm not looking forward to what's going to happen in Washington, Washington State. Yakima Glock has got first-hand experience there with that. So, and Yakima Glock, you're right. You say you think you're on the downhill side of the bell curve of the cycle of our republic. I think you're absolutely right, and that's what I posted on Facebook today. I wrote a big, long thing and put it on Facebook. And also, for those of you that are familiar with my blog, I put it on there. So you can go to SWSA blog.com and see some of my latest entries there. And since I downloaded the app there, I may start putting more stuff on my blog because I can do it from my phone from anywhere. So, and not be tied up here at the desk. So, anyway, let's see here. Is who now what, Mountain Shooter? What are you talking about? Is he now? Is he now? Is he now what? That's a mystery there. I'm not sure what you're talking about. All right, let's move on. We got things to do, places to go, and people to see here. Let's figure out what we got. That's the wrong one. That's the right one. All right, let's just start here. And this was November 1st, and a disabled veteran in Houston, Texas, actually filmed, they took some pictures of it. MSNBC crew blocked handicap spots, his handicap spot, so he could park a little closer there, but the film crew blocked the handicap spot at a polling place. How rude and inconsiderate are these people? There's a picture of it here, and they've got it. So, as a matter of fact, I'm going to put a link here in the chat room for you to look at this. They're set up right dead in the middle of a handicap spot. The cameras and everything are set up in the spot. The girl that's talking there looks like she's off to the side in the diagonally slashed area. They've got their little umbrella and everything set up right, literally on the blue square in the middle of the parking spot. In the blue square with the white wheelchair, one of the cameras is set up dead on that emblem right there. Unbelievable.
I'm going to throw this in the chat room for you guys to check out there. Well, I said I was going to. Let's try this one. I've had trouble with this for 6 months. I'm not sure what's going on here. Let's try this again. There it goes. All right. And moving right along. This was, I love stories with happy endings. It was just last week, I think, wasn't it? Maybe the week before, when the guy was sitting in McDonald's with his two sons and someone with a mask on come blasting in there and dad blasted him back. And now in a McDonald's in Georgia, actually, in Macon, Georgia. So you can bet if Stacey Abrams gets in there, she'll use this as some kind of something for her anti-gun movement there. But there was a guy robbing not Batman and Robin, he was robbing. Georgia Sheriff's Office said a man robbing a Macon, Georgia McDonald's accidentally shot himself in the thigh. Oh boy, this guy, 26 years old, he ordered the manager to take him to the safe. Manager complied before running off with another employee. And it was then that he says they heard a gunshot and saw the thief run away. And later heard a man screaming for help. They found him as wearing only his boxer shorts, laying close to a wig, the money, and other clothing. Deputies say he was identified as a suspect, taken to the hospital in stable condition. They'll be arrested upon his release. So, there you go. Safety training. Safety. Always think about safety. Even when you're robbing a McDonald's, think about safety. This is a little disconcerting. Mountain Shooter, the point of no return, the latest one that dated today. That's the one I just put up. I think that's the one I was talking about. There's some other stuff on there you may be interested in, but that's the one that went up today. I'm a little worried about this here at Border Patrol. They've postponed this now. They've postponed plans to conduct crowd control exercise on Election Day. But they had planned to do this exercise on Election Day. And what happens when they have these little exercises here, the first one that I remember, when I was really, really getting active and really coming alive getting involved in this kind of stuff, was one in Hebron, Maryland, where the Marines conducted an exercise there, and the premise of this exercise was that they were going door to door, and I don't think they actually entered homes, but they were checking, outbuildings and stuff for guns. Now, I don't know if they were, taking inventory of anything that they did actually see, or if they were just going through the motions for the training exercise, but I didn't like it even then. And I did verify that. I called the Chamber of Commerce in Hebron, Maryland, when I first moved to New Mexico from when I was living in Arizona before. And that was in, 1998, I think, 98 or 99. Might have been early 99 that they did this. And so I think these exercises could be done just as well in some of the very many mock cities, mock towns that they have set up, especially for that kind of stuff. They could get the soldiers, the Marines, the law enforcement officers, whoever's running the exercise, they could get their, how about they get their wife and kids out there to play the parts of the other civilians? How about that? Would that work? How would you feel about that? I think that there's, other ways that they could do this without inconveniencing and scaring and indoctrinating the civilians in these towns. This happens a lot. This happens quite frequently. The Marines did it again in, it was probably 2000, maybe later 99, sometime in 2000, I don't remember. The Marines did a beach landing off of somewhere around San Francisco or somewhere. And they actually, the city had stopped them initially because they were worried about the footprints and tracking sand in there and damaging flowers and all that stupid crap. I don't know what it was. But they stopped them for a while until they changed locations, and then they still went through with it. So that's what they're doing here. The Border Patrol had planned to do this, but they had postponed it. Now, postponed it, not called it off. They're planning on doing it again. But the decision to postpone this exercise in El Paso, which, by the way, is the home of the Senate, the guy that lost, Beto O'Rourke. He lost to Ted Cruz. Texans should be very, very proud that this guy lost, because he is the Stacey Abrams of Texas. Beto O'Rourke would have been a disaster for the state of Texas. So I hope you guys you may not like Ted Cruz, you may or may not, but I'll guarantee you sure ain't going to like what you narrowly escaped getting there. So it says the planned exercise to be held in the hometown of Democratic candidate Beto O'Rourke was called into question how far the Trump administration would go to affect the outcome of today's election. Shortly before the decision to postpone was announced, Texas Secretary of State, the state's Republican chief elections administrator, said he was not concerned about electoral disruptions in El Paso following a conversation Tuesday morning with it. Well, of course it would disrupt it. Whether it would change anybody's mind and how they voted or not, I don't know, but damn sure it would disrupt it to some degree. Here's something that's not going to be good for anybody. The courts have now ruled that truckers have to be paid minimum wage anytime that they're in the truck, even when they're not driving. So I don't know if they're even going to cover that when they're sleeping. They have to sleep somewhere, and they're going to pay them when they're in a motel, but they're in the truck. I didn't read the whole story. But what this will do, when they force you to take breaks and stuff, they didn't used to do that when I was driving back years ago. We just drove till we couldn't stand it anymore and pulled over on the side of the road and wake up in the middle of the night and go some more. But you can't do that anymore. But this is going to raise the price of every single thing that you buy. Food, ammo, guns, underwear, hairbrushes, toothpaste, chicken feed. I don't care what it is, it's going to raise the prices of everything, at least to some degree. So thank the Democrats for that, I'm sure. This happened in Georgia, and this has happened so many times, and I don't understand why they still continue to hold these elections and say, okay, well, this person won and that person won, even though in one precinct in Habersham County, the Mud Creek precinct in northeast Georgia, that's up near close to Helen, Georgia, had 276 registered voters ahead of the state's primary elections in May, but 670 ballots were cast yesterday, indicating a 243% turnout. So obviously the turnout was better in that part of Georgia than it was in Arizona. We had a little less than 50%. They had 243%. That's awesome. No, hell no, that ain't awesome. Something's wrong there. Over twice, almost two and a half times, number of ballots cast than they have registered voters for. Why wasn't the whole thing thrown out? Or why? I don't understand what's going on here. this is nuts to me. And there was a lot of that stuff going on. And it went on during the last couple of elections. I don't understand. I just don't understand. Okay. Now, I don't understand this. There's a lot of things I don't understand. I'm just not very smart. But here is a guy here in... this is an old story. Not real old, but... This is... Where is he from? New Dominion. He is having to pay... For electricity, he's having to pay tax on the electricity he's using. The house is completely off-grid, solar-powered house, not charged for electricity at all, but they're charging him tax on the electricity that he's using. How in the hell do you do that? This is what's called a net-zero home. It's meant to generate all the power it needs over a year, from 35 solar panels on the roof. He didn't know, I guess, when he built this, that it didn't apply when it comes to these taxes. That's crazy. Oh, well. Let's see here. Let me... Oh, and a mountain shooter, you're going to like this. Is, let's see, Mountain Shooter, who else? Doc may be mildly interested in this. Is, Easy Bounce, I don't know, he's been signed in a long time. He may or may not still be there. Copper, you'll probably like this. FN now has come out with a commercial version of the SCAR. Sharp-looking gun. Come any color that you want, as long as it's flat, dark earth. And guaranteed still shoot minute of angle out to 1,000 yards and more. They're not cheap. Matter of fact, let's see, one of them was, one of them's $5,499. But you can get the cheaper model if you want, the standard model. It's only $4,499. So in this review here, they moved out to 1,000 yards, dialed in the elevation, managed to get 8 hits out of 10 on a 16x12 steel target, as good as it gets for a 7.62 NATO design for a purpose-built precision rifle. I'd like to have one of those. I really would. I would really like to have one. But I am really not going to pay $5,400. I'm really not going to do that. Ever. If somebody come up and give me $5,400 to buy one, I still wouldn't do it. I'd go spend it on something else. And no way in hell I'm going to waste $5,400 on a rifle. Not a chance. Okay, last story. Let me get in this real quick. Here's a guy in Texas.
How this all happened is kind of unimportant, but it was they say that alcohol may have been involved. An eyewitness says alcohol was not involved. It was a kind of a rival thing. There'd been bad blood between these two guys for a while. Guy went over to pick up his girlfriend or drop his girlfriend off or whatever. He had a single shot antique, by the way, single shot .22 rifle in his truck with. And I say single shot, I ain't just kidding. He had one round with him. He had one round in the truck, period, and it was chambered in the gun. And that's all he had, a single round in a .22 rifle. The other guy shot this truck, put 11 holes in, he fired 12 shots from a 40 caliber pistol, 15 shots from an AR-15, and this guy, and he was in and around somewhere in the truck all the time this guy was shooting, putting holes in his truck, and somehow he managed to squeeze off a single shot from that .22 rifle, plugged that guy right in the center, killed him dead. So,
Obviously, we're not big fans of using a .22 for self-defense. But when it's all you got and you know how to use it, that's all it takes. So, let's see if that works. Yeah, that worked.
So, no, I don't know what he'd have done if he'd have missed, if it hadn't worked like it planned for it to. A single shot's not my first choice. If you're going to take a single shot, you ought to at least take a pocket full of rounds with it. But it did the job. It worked.
Yeah. Okay, that is going to do it for the shooting bench for tonight. There will be no live Liberty Lounge this Friday. I'm sorry. I will maybe send... Now, I'll have the Tinker, if he would, pull up a good one. The last one seemed to go over pretty well, but not, whichever one, I don't care. But we've got a wedding to go to over in Snowflake, very important wedding from very dear friends of ours. So we'll be out for just a little bit, and it's going to be right during the time that Liberty Lounge is coming on. So sorry about that, but that is the way it has to be. So we'll be back here Monday, first with Living Way Out Here with Amy at 8 o'clock Pacific. And I'm sorry, 7 o'clock Pacific. And then shooting bench at its regular time. All right.
This has been the Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.